Lisa, and I have the honor to share with you a little bit this morning. And kids, I'm so glad you're in here. If you're fifth grade and under, can you just wave at me and say Merry Christmas? So glad you're here. I'm not going to talk for long, I promise. So you guys should be able to hang with me for just a little bit. When I was little, some of my favorite family traditions and memories revolve around us decorating the tree. It was a big deal every year. We would get into, for the years that we would fit, we would get into my dad's tiny little three-seater pickup. My mom would sit in the passenger seat with my sister, who's younger than me, on her lap, and I would sit in the middle with my little brother on the lap. We would just cram in that car. My brother and I would always try not to let our knees hit the stick shift. It was the 80s. I mean, you could kind of get away with that stuff then. I don't think we're doing that stuff anymore these days. But we would all go up the hill, and on our way, we would always stop at the AM/PM on Rockland Road and I-80, if anybody knows where I'm talking about, and we would get, like, a candy bar or something, and that was a big deal for us. And it was, we looked forward to it every year. It was like a special part of the treat. And so anyway, we would get this tree, and it's always a blast. And my mom, she could decorate a mean Christmas tree. She always managed to make it look like a decorator's dream while keeping our, like, trinkety homemade ornaments involved, and we would just load that thing up. And one year, I remember this particular tree we got. It was gorgeous. And I must have been around 8 or 9 years old. I'm not totally sure, but I remember we just picked out the most beautiful tree, and it was kind of an unusual variety. Not even sure it's pine. But anyways, we cut it down, and we brought it home, and we put it in the front window, and we decorated it, and it was gorgeous. It was the perfect size. It looked beautiful. It smelled amazing, and we were kind of standing back, you know, finishing up, admiring it, and my mom thought something was missing. She's like, it's just not quite right, and I'm kind of going, wow, that's interesting. I think it looks awesome. Well, what she wanted to do was take this red, shiny cellophane stuff and put it, like, in the tree, not wrap it around garland on the outside of the tree, but she wanted it closer inside the tree, wrapped around kind of closer to where the trunk is. Now, we already had all the ornaments on there, so I watched my dad kind of struggle to make my mom's vision become a reality, you know, without knocking off too many ornaments. And when he did, the effect was amazing. It somehow made the whole tree glow from within. And I have to tell you, it was not just beautiful at this point, it was perfect. Mom was satisfied, and Dad said it was the most beautiful Christmas tree we ever had. That year, I loved that tree. I loved sleeping next to that tree. And if I couldn't do that, I would wake up just after Dad made a fire and sit in the warm glow of it all. I vividly remember this. And have you ever had that feeling that everything is as it should be? Your heart rate slows down, you sleep really well, you wake up with hope for the future. Everything just seems right. And I think that Christmas was one of those times for me. We all long for that complete, whole, and peaceful feeling, especially at Christmas, where we just have this sense that everything is right with the world. I think so much of our nostalgia at Christmas is in an effort to create or even recreate that sense of joy, that sense of peace. And this morning, I want to spend just a few moments talking about Jesus, our Prince of Peace. Joe and Sarah told us the story when Jesus came, and this is really a big and important part of an even bigger story. This Advent, we have been looking at Isaiah chapter 9 this whole season. And if you have your Bible with you, you can open it to Isaiah chapter 9. And I'm going to read verse 6 to us. For to us, we just sang it too. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We've read it. We've prayed it together. We just sung it. The key words are hanging on the banners above our heads. The prophet Isaiah announced Jesus the Messiah long before he was born. And this perfect king would be benevolent beyond any human comparison. He would be Emmanuel, God with us, and his name would be called, among other things, the Prince of Peace. And that's what we're focusing on today, our final Sunday in Advent. This title or name, the Prince of Peace, that was given to Jesus even before he was born, teaches us and reminds us that God has always had a plan for peace. When he created the world and people, his desire was that we would live in perfect peace. But that's not really how it feels. That's not really what happened, is it? So often what we experience is a lack of peace. And this lack of peace is a result of sin coming into the world. This disruption of peace has wreaked havoc on relationships, and it has broken relationships between people and God, relationships between people and people, and it has resulted in so much suffering and destruction and conflict and pain and sadness over the course of human history. And yet, God was and still is determined to carry out his great peace plan, to make it all better, even better than that 9-year-old feeling you get at Christmas. So here you have God, he made the world, right? And sin came in and messed everything up, brought brokenness into the world. Then you have multiple prophecies, including the one we just read in Isaiah, promising a savior who would establish justice and bring peace. God was showing humanity throughout history that he had a great peace plan, and that he was, and he is, and will work it out in human history. In 700 years after Isaiah's prophecy and many, many others, God came to us in the flesh. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he came. And when he came, it was such a big deal that angels announced him in the sky. And that announcement by the angels echoed this promise of peace. If you have your Bible and you want to, you can turn to Luke 2. It'll also be up on the screens. Luke 2, verse 13 says this: "Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven," those are the angels, "praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" Peace on earth. Doesn't that sound awesome? And Jesus, he came. And then all the ministry that Jesus did on earth proved that God was working out his peace plan. He healed the sick. He preached the good news about the kingdom. He loved the people who were set aside and outcast. He loved everyone. He died on the cross, becoming a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. He rose again from the dead. And this was showing us again and again that God was fulfilling his promise of peace, and he was continuing to work out his great peace plan. And that is why we can have peace right now. We can have peace right now because God has a plan. He started it. He is working on it. And we can be confident that he will complete it. He will complete this great peace plan. You know, when we think of peace, we often think of a lack of war or a lack of conflict or like a quiet moment or a feeling that doesn't, you know, always last very long. But the kind of peace the Bible talks about, it's really so much more. It's much different than our idea of peace. So much more than a temporary state or a fleeting emotion. The word for peace in Isaiah and in Hebrew is the word shalom. Can you kids say shalom? It's kind of fun to say, isn't it? And that word means complete or whole, total fulfillment, blessedness. It's this idea of complete restoration. Many of you know that my family, at the time there were three of us, we lived in Ethiopia. And one of the things that took us a while to get a hang of was the way that people greeted each other. And they have a word that means peace, or is there peace, and that's how you greet one another in that country. They say salamno, and that means is there peace. But you never end a greeting there. It usually lasts about 5 minutes longer, and you begin to be asked, or you ask another person, well, you know, is there peace with you? Yes, there's peace with me. Is there peace with your wife or your husband? Yes. With your son, your daughter? Yes. How about your parents? How about your sister? How about your brother? How about any mutual acquaintance that we know? How about that problem you were having last week? Is there peace with that? Is there peace with the travel that you had to get here? I mean, it just goes on and on. And, you know, we would kind of be like, oh my gosh. But what it did, it's kind of involves this biblical idea of peace. It's not just this little feeling or this temporary state, but it's like, is everything as it should be? Are things in order? Are things good in your life? And that's kind of more the biblical, what biblical peace means. It's much bigger than our modern idea. Shalom is not a feeling alone, but a state in which everything is as it should be, as it was intended, totally whole. Jesus has, and he will continue to bring all things under his governance, and it will be perfect, as it always should have been, totally whole, lacking nothing, completely restored. So let's go back to Isaiah 9, and we'll look at verse 7. It says this, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. In God's great peace plan, Jesus is king. His rule is perfect, far more perfect than the most perfect Christmas you can imagine. And his rule will last forever, securing peace for all time. And we know that Jesus will come again to finally and totally establish justice and peace and destroy evil once and for all. And we can have peace now, right now, because God has a plan. We can put our hope and our confidence in the fact that God has a plan. We are invited into this great peace plan now by surrendering our hearts and our lives to King Jesus, to the Prince of Peace. You know, there's a great number of attempts, human attempts, toward peace. And the reality is that this kind of shalom, this perfect peace, cannot be experienced without the Prince of Peace. The peace comes with the Prince. Only Jesus can guide our feet in the way of peace. And my hope is this morning that you will engage your heart. If you sense a distance from God, if you haven't really thought about him in a while, if you know you're just here visiting and you don't normally attend church, that you will engage your heart and consider who this Jesus is, that you might follow him and walk in the way of peace with him. And we join Jesus in his peace plan as we follow him. We do as he would do. We live as he would live until one day when he returns to complete this plan for peace and restore total shalom to his people. My prayer and my hope for all of us is that we would let our hearts rest in peace that is offered in Jesus. In the hope that his great peace plan and leadership will bring about perfect shalom. And until then, that we would be his instruments of peace in our world that so desperately needs peace. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for your peace. Lord, I pray that we would this Christmas rest in you. Be comforted and be reminded of your great plan with a future that is secure despite the pain and suffering that we see around us, that we would know ultimately, Father, that you will win and you will carry us. Inspire us today, Lord, with your peace. Restore our hearts where there is brokenness. And draw us to you, Father. We are so grateful for your Son. We worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen.